A referendum on Yahoo's CEO, Marissa Mayer. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. Yahoo is scheduled to release third quarter earnings today. The company's CEO, Marissa Mayer, joined the company in 2012. And since then, Yahoo has acquired Tumblr. And Mayer has implemented some big changes structurally at Yahoo. Today, she's expected to outline a new plan to turn the company around. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at Mayer's strategy so far.
Yahoo's stock is down. Shareholders are demanding change, possibly at the top. This earnings call is make or break for Marissa Mayer.
She's had 2 years, and the strategies put into place have not worked.
Brian Weiser is an analyst with Pivotal Research Group. One of those strategies, he says, hasn't worked, buying up more than a dozen other companies.
Well, the problem is they bought the wrong ones.
Weiser says Yahoo's acquisition of Tumblr has yet to pay off. Investors also want to know what Yahoo will do with profits on the sale of Alibaba stock and how to save money on taxes. But they also want to know how Yahoo will compete with Facebook and Google, says Colin Gillis, a senior technology analyst at BGC Partners.
They could build original content. They could build and invest into the underlying technology for display advertisements. They could, acquire a company that has success in mobile.
Gillis says shareholders will give Mayer another 6 months or so to prove she can turn Yahoo around. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The designer Oscar de la Renta has died. He was 82 years old. His clothes were well-liked by celebrities, by politicians, and also by many professionals who admired his sensibility and his style. Joining me now is Vanessa Friedman. She's the fashion critic and the fashion director for The New York Times, and she's someone who's charted de la Renta's career. Good morning, Vanessa.
Morning.
So he started his own label in 1965. What did he set out to do with that then?
I think really, what he continued to do, which is make women feel safe in their own attractiveness. I think he saw there was a need for that. Clothing is costume and armor that we assume for whatever we need to do in our everyday life. And, for the women he dressed, that was often look as idealized and functional as possible, and he gave them that, and he continued to give them that, which is really a pretty extraordinary achievement over the course of 50 years.
He managed to strike this amazing balance between dressing celebrities, dressing first ladies, and then also making clothing that was very popular with professional women. I imagine that's not an easy balance to strike.
Well, I think it's, he really knew what he stood for, and he was incredibly consistent in doing that aesthetically, and that's not always a very, buzzy or trendy thing. Often designers can kind of end up chasing the trend or chasing the hot and lose sight of the consumer, and he absolutely never did that.
I would guess that Oscar de la Renta is someone who put a lot of thought into what his legacy is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most impressive things I think he did is actually manage his own succession and clearly manage it at a time when it couldn't have been easy for him to do that because it just happened over the last few months. But fashion designers, particularly designers who are still in charge of the company they founded and haven't brought in outside investors, historically have a real issue with handing over reins or even thinking about handing over the reins. And he is one of the few, if not the only, man in that position that I know of who put his successor in place before he passed away. So in effect, he gave his company into what he considered a safe hands. And the man who would continue to grow his legacy. And I think that really reflects his ability to look forward.
Vanessa Friedman is fashion director and fashion critic for The New York Times. Vanessa, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
World Series kicks off tonight in Kansas City. After 29 long years, the Royals have made it to baseball's biggest stage. That's exciting for both fans and for those hoping to benefit from the economic bump of having a major sporting event in their city. The only question is there actually a bump? Reporter Nova Safo has an answer.
The answer is yes and no. Yes, says Ronnie Burt, the head of Kansas City's Tourism Bureau. Businesses are already reporting strong sales in the run-up to the World Series.
Hats, T-shirts, jerseys have just been selling like hotcakes, as well as restaurants and bars. Year over year, sales have dramatically increased.
Burt thinks the impact to the Kansas City economy could be as much as $50 million. And to that, economics professor Robert Boddy of Lake Forest College says no.
The economic impact of mega events are exaggerated.
Boddy co-authored a study that looked at 30 years' worth of World Series, and he found
we are much better at keeping track of the benefits than we are the costs.
Costs such as the $200,000 San Francisco spent in 2012 on a victory parade. Add in the price of security, post-event cleanup, and other factors, and Boddy says cities do get some economic benefit, but a modest and temporary one. I'm Novosafo for Marketplace.
Last week, there were reports AbbVie, an Illinois-based pharmaceutical company, was thinking about abandoning its bid for Shire, another drug maker that's based in the UK, because of mounting criticism of what are called inversions. That's when a U.S. company takes over a foreign company to take advantage of the tax rates where that other company is based. Well, AbbVie has made up its mind. It's going to abandon that deal, and that decision is going to cost the company $1.64 billion. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.